This morning, let's take our Bibles and turn in the Old Testament to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapters 12 through 14, Proper Living. Proper Living. Proverbs is a book about wisdom and about how to live life and to live life skillfully. We all spend most all of our lives trying to learn how to live life. If we find Jesus Christ, we have a tremendous advantage, because He comes inside of us by the presence of His Holy Spirit. He leads and guides and directs and rebukes and encourages, and we still are struggling to learn how to live life properly. I doubt we're ever going to learn it totally here, this side of the throne, but God's Word guides us and directs us, and no book does so any more than the book of Proverbs. Right living. We're going to talk in chapter 12 about right living. Chapter 13, we'll talk about wise living. Chapter 14, we're going to talk about godly living. So as always, let's ask the Lord to help us. Father, we're grateful for this chance to study Your Word. Help us to understand it and be totally changed by it. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Chapter 12, let's talk about right living, the values of right living in the first 11 verses, and some examples of right living in verses 12 to 28. The lesson, I think, for chapter 12 is right living has great value, and it has abundant examples in our lives. Beginning in verse 1, let's talk about values. Whoever loves instruction loves knowledge. But he who hates correction is stupid. Now, we all say we love instruction. Oh, I love instruction. Teach me. I want to learn all that I can because I love knowledge. Well, let's start by saying that you're doing something wrong. Oh, I don't want to hear that. If you're like me, when folks say, Jerry, could I make a suggestion? I open up like a flower ready to receive the rain and the sun, saying, sure, teach me. I simply tighten up and say, let's get the defense mechanisms going. Whatever they think I'm doing wrong, they're wrong, and I need to show them that. That's stupid, isn't it? So when you love instruction and you love knowledge, guess what? It's not all going to come from the internet. Sometimes it's going to come from correction. Correction. And we need to be able to receive that. Whoever hates correction is stupid. My mother was gifted in the gift of correction, and I would struggle with that. The Lord had to speak one time to me and say, I'm speaking through her, and I'm correcting through her. Listen, it's going to be much easier if you follow that. Well, after Mother, my secretary Barbara took on that role, then Barbara retired, and I was alone, and my dogs didn't correct me. And God looked and said, this young man needs help. So He gave me the most beautiful wife in all the world, and the gift of correction continues on in our family as she's able to share daily how wonderful her husband is, or will be, once he receives and follows the correction that God gives her. And she does a great job. So we need to learn how to be open to wisdom and knowledge, and it comes largely through correction. Verse 2, a good man obtains favor from the Lord, but a man of wicked intentions he will condemn. A lot of playing back and forth between the good and the evil. A man is not established by wickedness, but the root of the righteous cannot be moved. If you want to be really established, wickedness is never going to be the answer. It has to be righteousness. And that righteousness is not our own righteousness, but the righteousness of Jesus Christ and building our lives on His righteousness, the solid rock. A man is not established by wickedness, but the root of the righteous cannot be moved. You'll never be moved in Christ. An excellent wife is the crown of her husband, but she who causes shame is like rottenness in his bones. So the wife is to be excellent. A good prayer for wives, Lord, make me an excellent wife to be the crown of my husband, and for the husband to be an excellent husband. She who causes shame, we don't want to see that happen. It's like rottenness to his bones. The thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsels of the wicked are deceitful. The words of the wicked are lie in wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright will deliver them. Very obvious statements. Wickedness always trying to steal, kill, destroy, doing the work of the devil. Verse 7, the wicked are overthrown and are no more, but the house of the righteous will stand. Again, we're talking about permanency, permanency through the righteousness of Christ. A man will be commended according to his wisdom, but he who is of a perverse heart will be despised. Better is the one who is slighted but has a servant than he who honors himself but lacks bread. So perhaps you have some substance, perhaps you have somebody working for you, and you've been slighted. Well, that's too bad, but you still have a servant, you still have help, and you still have sustenance. But how about the one who honors himself, lifts himself up, how great I am? That one lacks bread. My father, when he first had a first day on the law practice, back in the 30s, 1938 or 39, he was in his the office of the senior man, and they were talking about some things, and somehow the conversation came up to a client, and Dad said, I'll bet he has a lot of money. And the senior attorney said, Mort, don't ever count the other man's money in your mind. You'd be surprised sometimes at how little the other fellow has, especially if he's telling you how much he has. Might not be the case. So a righteous man, verse 10, regards the life of his animal, but the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. If you find somebody who is good to animals, that person probably is going to be a decent person. And if they can be righteous to animals, they can also be righteous to people. Those who have no regard for animals, in many cases, they won't have such regard for people, including ourselves. So God made those animals. We are not all animal people, but we are to regard them kindly as such. My wife sent me a text the other day, which is kind of a family joke, and it's a woman sitting there, and she's holding her head, and she's saying, I'm hearing these voices saying, you need to get a dog. And I'm thinking, don't do that. We got four dogs there. We got one home. We got four cats. We got enough. But last night, my grandson and I were walking in front of the house, and there's this big barking. We've got a little Yorkie. I love the Yorkie. But then my heartthrob is across the street. Big wolf sound, a German Shepherd. Oh, I had three of them. And I just couldn't help talking to the guy across the street. What a magnificent animal. And he said he doesn't behave. I said, that's a German Shepherd for you. But, oh, animal stories. I can go on and on for that. And if you ever lose an animal, go to our website. I've got a teaching on that called Animals in Heaven, which God gave to me. And it's been a blessing to many, and it's been an encouragement to me. Verse 11, he who tills his land will be satisfied with bread, but he who follows frivolity is devoid of understanding. You don't work, you don't eat. Just that simple, isn't it? Paul said that. If you don't work, you don't eat. You till the land, you're going to be satisfied with bread. You're going to have enough to eat. But if you're just involved with frivolity and just going after vain things and fooling around, lazy, then you're devoid of understanding. The wicked covet the catch of evil men, but the root of the righteous yields fruit. The wicked is ensnared by the transgression of his lips, but the righteous will come through trouble. Oh, notice that word through. The righteous will come through trouble. The Lord never promised we're not going to have trouble. In fact, he made a promise that I never claim every day. I could claim that promise. I never do. In this world, you will have tribulation. Never claimed that promise, but it always comes. And he goes on to say, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. But I like that word through, because if you're righteous, if you're in Christ, if you love the Lord, don't be naive and think that trouble's not going to knock on your door. That's a tool of the devil to say, well, you must not be righteous or God must not be good, because if you're righteous, why do you have trouble? Trouble started with Adam and Eve, didn't it? And it's going to continue right on, part of life. We're all going to have trouble. I'd rather go through the trouble with the Lord than to go under it and be defeated by it. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the book of Daniel, remember them? They were thrown in the fiery furnace because they would not worship the image set up by the wicked king Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. Well, they were thrown into that fiery furnace, heated seven times hotter than before. The men who threw them in were instantly burned up. But they didn't get burned up. In fact, Nebuchadnezzar saw a fourth man walking in that fire with them, and he said that fourth man is like the Son of God. They didn't go. I'm sure they prayed to get out of it. God didn't answer that prayer. Sometimes God will get you out of trouble, but sometimes he'll take you through the trouble. And it's a greater testimony. They didn't have the smell of smoke. Not even a hair on their head was singed. So, I love that scripture, verse 13, the righteous will come through trouble. A man will be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth. Speak well, and you'll be blessed. And the recompense of a man's hands will be rendered to him. So you work well, you work diligently, it's going to pay off. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who needs counsel is wise. A fool's wrath is known at once, but a prudent man covers shame. So the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. Oh, you can't teach him anything. He knows everything. But the one who's wise is the one who says, I'm open to counsel. I'm open to correction. I don't like to hear counsel. I don't like to hear correction when I'm going the wrong way, but I'm open to it because I want to improve. I want to learn. We all need to learn. We all need to go through suffering. A fool's wrath is known at once. It doesn't take long for a fool to blow his top. But a prudent man, oh, one who's wise in the Lord, he covers shame. Covers shame for others and doesn't try to expose others and their faults. And there, he tries to, through love, cover the multitude of sins. So verse 17 now goes on to talk about the blessings of wise living. He who speaks truth declares righteousness, but a false witness, deceit. There is one who speaks like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health. Verse 18, there is one who speaks like the piercings of a sword. That's somebody who tries to cut you down, cut you up, make you feel like nothing, and to trash you and all of your values and to make you feel miserable. The piercings of that person is like a sword. But the tongue of the wise person promotes health, promotes healing. There is a way to correct and still promote healing. We all have had to go into doctor's offices or the hospital. And when, I guess it was 2 years ago coming up, I had my wife put her hand on my chest on a Thursday night after a Bible study. She's a nurse, but she didn't use any stethoscope. And she said, honey, I think you've got heart problems. And I said, oh, I'm fine. You know, typical husband. And she said, honey, I think you need to get it checked out. So I thought I'd put her off. I'll talk to our primary, who won't see me for 6 months, even if I beg him. He saw me the next morning immediately. I thought, what's going on? Get to the hospital. Went to a cardiologist. Long story short, major, major surgery, four procedures of open heart surgery. But when those doctors worked with me, they didn't try to hurt me. They didn't try to abuse me. They tried to help me. And so somebody who is trying to correct you, like a surgeon, is going to do it with the idea of healing. We want doctors and nurses to promote health and not punishment and abuse. My wife as a nurse doesn't walk into a room and castigate and criticize and rough handle people. She's there to try to help tenderly bring forth healing in their lives. We need to do the same thing with our tongues and with our lives. Verse 19, the truthful lip shall be established forever because truth lasts forever. A lying tongue is but for a moment. It'll pass. People are going to lie about you. So before you commit suicide, read this scripture here. A lying tongue is but for a moment. Okay? Deceit is in the heart of those who devise evil, but counselors of peace have joy. So when you are counseling and bringing forth peace, you're going to have joy in your life. No grave trouble will overtake the righteous, but the wicked shall be filled with evil. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. Oh, he hates that. But those who deal truthfully are his delight. So deal truthfully. The Lord's delighted with that. Verse 23, a prudent man conceals knowledge, But the heart of fools proclaims foolishness, so that wise man or woman conceals knowledge. You don't cast your pearls before swine. You're careful what you say. You're careful with whom you share truth. You don't conceal truth completely, but you're careful as to how you approach subjects and people. You don't tell all you know, unless it's necessary. But that fool just blathers on. The heart of a fool proclaims foolishness. Just talks and talks and talks. The hand of the diligent will rule, but the lazy man will be put to forced labor. I've never known a lazy person to be in position of authority. Do you know of anybody? No, never happens that way. Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. Depression is a major problem in the country and throughout the world, always has been, especially now. All sorts of theories. It's medical, it's chemicals in the brain, it's circumstances, it's this, it's that. All sorts of courses, all sorts of medication. I'm not going to speak against any of that. That's not my place. My place is to expound the word. Look at verse 25. Very simple. Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression. What causes depression? Anxiety in the heart of man. What's the solution? A good word makes that same heart glad. So how do you handle depression? Give somebody the good word. Give that person the gospel. Paul talks about depression, talks about anxiety, talks about problems along those lines. In Philippians, he has a very simple solution. He talks about this anxiety and how you handle it. Philippians chapter 4. We all know this verse so well. He says, be anxious for nothing. There's that anxiety that causes depression. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Pray. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Pray. Give it to God. Place it on the altar. Now, once it's on the altar, it's off your shoulders and onto His. And then look at verse 8. Watch your thinking. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. So give your problems to God, watch your thinking, and praise Him. Verse 26, the righteous should choose his friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray. Every mother taught every child that. Many kids don't pay any attention at all. Watch who you hang with. The lazy man does not roast what he took in hunting. But diligence is man's precious possession. That lazy man somehow got out of his bed, got out, got his bow and arrow, and shot some poor beast, brought it back, but was so lazy, he let it stay there, let it rot. Too lazy to start a fire and cook it. But diligence, that's man's precious possession. I've been around a few years, and most of us have, and I'm going to tell you something. There are differences of intelligence. There are differences of education, differences of genetics. We do have differences, and some have advantages, and some have disadvantages. But if there's one quality that I think will cause one to succeed in the natural, it is diligence. Diligence will overcome any defects we have. It will take care and make the playing field even. When you're diligent, you're going to succeed. You're going to find something to do, and you're going to do it well. And if you really are diligent, you'll be better than most people around you. And Christians ought to be diligent. Good testimony for the Lord. In the way of righteousness is life, talking about abundant life in Christ, and in its pathway there is no death. So chapter 12 talks about right living. Then we have wise living. in chapter 13. Here we're going to talk about the fruits of wise living and the blessings of wise living. Wise living bears many fruits and bears many, many blessings. A wise son heeds his father's instruction, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. Pay attention to your parents. A man shall eat well by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the unfaithful feeds on violence. He who guards his mouth preserves his life, but he who opens wide his lips shall have destruction. Be careful. One thing I learned as a lawyer when I was practicing law, and you taught your witnesses on the witness stand, you've seen it on television, it's so true. What does a counsel, an attorney, advise the witness when you're going on the stand? Say as little as possible. Answer only the question. Answer it honestly. Don't volunteer anything. So be careful what you say. The more you talk, the more trouble you're going to get into. Verse 4, the soul of a lazy man desires and has nothing. Oh, I want, you know, it's my lack of education, it's my lack of this, I get no, you know, it's my ethnic background, I'm my disadvantages here, I'm too old, I'm too young. Lazy. A lazy man desires and has nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made rich. A righteous man hates lying, but a wicked man is loathsome and comes to shame. Righteousness guards him whose way is blameless, but wickedness overthrows the sinner. Verse 7, we just saw this a few minutes ago. There is one who makes himself rich, yet has nothing, and one who makes himself poor, yet has great riches. I've seen both kinds, and so have you. Some who brag about how much they have, and they really have nothing at all. And those who are always crying poverty, I have nothing at all, and they've got a nice big fat bank account. Verse 8, the ransom of a man's life is his riches, but the poor does not hear rebuke. The ransom of a man's life is riches. So we have a rich ransom. We have the wealthiest ransom ever paid. Ransoms are being paid all the time right now. It's one of the devices that are used by terrorist organizations. But there is a ransom that is more precious and more powerful and more everlasting than any other. And that's the ransom paid by Jesus Christ for our sins. The blood of Jesus Christ was shed that we might have forgiveness of sins and righteousness in God. The light of the righteous rejoices, the lamp of the wicked will be put out. By pride, oh, look at pride, verse 10, comes nothing but strife. But with the well-advised is wisdom. So there's that arrogant spirit, and it's going to cause nothing but problems. But with the well-advised is wisdom. You get one person walking into a group with attitude, the family, what have you, what's going to happen? Nothing but problems. With those four dogs back there, right now they're peaceful, they're quiet. Nobody's exercising pride, but one of them starts to get prideful. Goes after the biscuit of another one. Tries to muscle in to take the place of another one. You're going to start having what? A fight. And you could hear it all over this room if they did. So pride even works with them. They've learned how to be humble and to submit to one another because pride brings nothing but trouble. Wealth gained by dishonesty will be diminished, but he who gathers by labor, working hard, will increase. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when the desire comes, it is a tree of life. So when you have hope for something and it's being held off, it makes you very unhappy, could even be sick. But then when the desire comes, it's a tree of life, abundant life. He who despises the word will be destroyed, but he who fears the commandment will be rewarded. So we need to love God's word. The law of the wise is a fountain of life to turn one away from the snares of death. Good understanding gains favor, but the way of the unfaithful is hard. Every prudent man acts with knowledge, but a fool lays open his folly. A wicked messenger falls into trouble, but a faithful ambassador brings health. The Bible talks about us as ambassadors for Christ. We should be bringing health, the health of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Poverty and shame will come to him who disdains correction. Oh, that person cannot be corrected, ignores it. Too smart. Nothing but poverty and shame is going to come. But he who regards a rebuke will be honored. I think if we could learn how to graciously receive rebuke, we would be so much better off. A desire accomplished is sweet to the soul. Isn't it great to have a job well done? A desire accomplished is sweet to the soul, but it's an abomination to fools to depart from evil. So the fool won't depart from evil, but when you do something and you do it well, it's a great desire. It's a great satisfaction. We all have little hobbies. Maybe you have a hobby that you like that's not part of your day job. And I happen to like little things such as cutting lawns or shining shoes. Why? Because I see some gratification. When you do ministry, when you're in the pulpit, when you're on the radio, on television, you do it because you know God's called you to do it and you have a sense of satisfaction to an extent. But there's no feedback. The worst job of all for a pastor, the worst job is marriage counseling, where you know that you're not getting anywhere at all and they're just fighting and fussing and fuming. And so for me, I do that job as unto the Lord, but I like to go out and see something accomplished, like I saw the lawn cut and it looks good. And that lasts for about a week, and then you do it all over. But my uncle was the head of the claims department of a major insurance company in Manchester, New Hampshire. And he had to check and supervise claims all day long. He needed sanity. The job didn't provide sanity. He'd go home, and he would do woodworking and painting in his basement, and that was his satisfaction. Whatever it is that helps you to get through the day or the night, it's great to have a desire accomplished, and it's sweet to the soul. And how much more so to share the gospel with somebody who receives Christ. When my wife is able to share the gospel in the hospital, talk to patients, and see them touched by the Lord, she just says a divine appointment. That's all she can text. She's so busy, but a divine appointment. That meant that she had a chance to share the good news with somebody. And she's happy because of it. It's sweet to her soul. 20, he who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. Evil pursues sinners, but to the righteous good shall be repaid. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. That's the grandchildren. But the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. Wow. So the good man's going to have enough for himself, his kids, his grandkids. The wicked man is actually storing it up. None of his kids are going to get it. It's going to go to some of the kids of the righteous. Much food is in the fallow ground of the poor, too lazy to get it out. And for the lack of justice, there is waste. He who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly. Oh, the word of God is not so followed today in society. When I was young, it was not considered to be child abuse to give a proper spanking at home or even in a Christian school setting. Today, there are those authorities that don't want to see any kind of physical punishment given. Now, nobody condones real punishment, no abusive attitude, never in anger, never is in terms of retribution, but always in terms of correction and moving forward in the right direction. And parents, of course, need to be guided by the Lord and by a good common spiritual sense. In any event, much pressure in the world today against that sort of teaching. The righteous eats to the satisfying of his soul, but the stomach of the wicked shall be in want. Never satisfied. And then finally, chapter 14, let's talk about godly living. The benefits of godly living in the first 14 verses, and then the strengths of godly living, verses 15 to 35. The wise woman builds her house, but the foolish pulls it down with her hands. So there's a wise woman who is building her house. What does that mean? Furniture being brought in? Yeah. Painting the walls? Sure, she's diligent, but I don't think it's talking so much about the physical house here. I think talking about the house of the family, the children, the grandchildren, being taught properly, being loved, being educated in the Lord, the ways of God, building that house not just temporarily but for eternity. That foolish woman is all about herself and about sinful practices, and nothing good is accomplished. Verse 2, he who walks in uprightness fears the Lord, but he who is perverse in his ways despises him. As we're perverse, we despise the Lord. In the mouth of a fool is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise will preserve them. Where no oxen are, the trough is clean, but much increase comes by the strength of an ox. So if you're too lazy to clean the feed trough, don't get any ox. Don't complain when there's no food because you don't have any oxen to pull the plow. It's just that simple. So if you want to be successful, it's going to require some work. A faithful witness does not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. A scoffer seeks wisdom but does not find it. But knowledge is easy to him who understands. Go from the presence of a foolish man when you do not perceive in him the lips of knowledge. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. Stay away from those who are fools. Now, fools mock at sin. And by the way, a fool is somebody who does not follow the Lord. Somebody who does not embrace God's wisdom is a fool. Maybe educated, maybe has all sorts of doctorates, but still a fool. Fools mock at sin, but among the upright there's favor. The heart knows its own bitterness, and a stranger does not share its joy. So basically, even when you're married, part of your life is unto yourself. You still have a heart. You know your own bitterness. Perhaps you can tell others, but they really can't share and identify with you completely. And the stranger doesn't share in its joy. So no one really knows the depths and inner resources of our own hearts. In agony, we're much like Jesus going in the Garden of Gethsemane. The disciples are there sleeping. We still have to go all the way into that inner sanctum with the Lord. We share things with the Lord and nobody else at times. But you know, the Lord does care. The Lord does listen. So we can't say nobody else cares. My spouse, my kids, my pastor, they don't care. Well, maybe they should care more, maybe they shouldn't, but we have the Lord, and he's the one who listens. Verse 11, the house of the wicked will be overthrown, but the tent of the upright will flourish. Verse 12, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. That's such an important verse. I use that weekly. There's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. I think if I do as much good as I can here on earth, help as many people, try to be good, try to be right, try to be helpful, try to be honest, surely God will allow me into his heaven. And that is the belief of most people in the world, of most belief systems, faith systems, good works. Seems right. Do good and you ought to get to heaven. The way is death, separation. Because Jesus tells us there's only one way to heaven. And the Bible tells us over and over and over again. As Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. One way to heaven. So what do you do? Don't try to navigate on what seems right to you. Go to God and ask for his rightness, his righteousness, his direction. Lord, this decision seems right to me. This person that I want to marry, this car I want to buy, this job I want to have, it seems right. But what do you say? Man proposes, but God disposes. Lord, I'm going to propose this, but what do you say? Verse 13, even in laughter the heart may sorrow, and the end of mirth may be grief. Sadness is a hard thing to get rid of. You know, typically when you go to a funeral and then you have a party afterwards or a time of fellowship, there's going to be laughter and stories that are humorous about the deceased. But there are those who are still grieving in their hearts. And that grief lasts and lasts. And sometimes lasts until you see that loved one again in heaven. We need to be sensitive to that. The backslider in heart will be filled with his own ways, but a good man will be satisfied from above. So that good person gets direction from God. The backslider, doing it his own way. The simple believes every word, but the prudent considers well his steps. A wise man fears and departs from evil, but a fool rages and is self-confident. A quick-tempered man acts foolishly, and a man of wicked intentions is hated. The simple inherit folly, but the prudent are crowned with knowledge. The evil will bow before the good and the wicked at the gates of the righteous. The poor man is hated even by his own neighbor, but the rich has many friends. Isn't that the way of the world? When you're poor, nobody knows you. When you're wealthy, oh, the friends that you have, or you think you have. Solomon was well aware of that. He had a huge table. 1,000 wives and lots of kids. But how many are true friends? You'll find out when you lose your money who's really your friend. He who despises his neighbor sins, but he who has mercy on the poor, happy is he. So don't despise your neighbor. Elsewhere we learn that your neighbor is there for a reason. Not to aggravate you, but to satisfy the fact that you will be safe. The more neighbors, the safer usually you are. Do they not go astray who devise evil? But mercy and truth belong to those who devise good. In all labor there is profit. But idle chatter leads only to poverty. Just talk and talk and talk. I have somebody who works for me and I love him dearly. And he calls and describes the job we're going to do, and the job we're going to do, and the job we're going to do. And 30 minutes later I say, let's do the job. I'm not there, so I say, let's put the phone down and let's go and let's do it. Let's not talk about it. Idle chatter leads only to poverty. The crown of the wise is their riches, but the foolishness of fools is folly. A true witness delivers souls, but a deceitful witness speaks lies. Look at that, delivering souls. How do you do that? How do you deliver souls? Saves lives. Share the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Or as my wife likes to say in that simple text, divine appointment. God set up a time for me to share truth to deliver a soul. In the fear of the Lord there is strong confidence, and his children will have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to turn one away from the snares of death. In a multitude of people is a king's honor, but in the lack of people is the downfall of a prince. So the king doesn't have many subjects. The king is going to be open to be taken over by neighbors, not have enough money to pave the roads, not have enough to bring forth food. You need to have a number of people. He who is slow to wrath has great understanding, but he who is impulsive exalts folly. A sound heart is life to the body, but envy is rottenness to the bones. A sound heart means a healthy heart, one that trusts, one that's pure. But envy, when you envy somebody else, It's like rottenness to the bones. Trouble with envy, not only is it sinful, it's certainly not glorifying to God, but it's never satisfied. My neighbor has a fancy car. It's a foreign import. If I can get that car, I'll be happy. Then I get that car, and gee, it's a car, and it's exciting for a couple of days. Same with anything else you can get. And you know something? Your car is the most expensive car on the street today. But tomorrow, somebody else has a more expensive car. And then what is going to happen to envy? It starts all over again. He who oppresses the poor reproaches his maker. But he who honors him has mercy on the needy. The wicked is banished in his wickedness, but the righteous has a refuge in his death. What's the refuge for death? Or what's the refuge in death? Isn't that the end of everything for the righteous? No, it's the beginning of a whole new life, a better life. A life with Jesus. Wisdom rests in the heart of him who has understanding, but what is in the heart of fools is made known. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Now that's a scripture that's going to be used by Christians, especially in terms of elections and in terms of talking about praying for the country and what have you. It's a good scripture for that. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. While you're praying for this nation, to have righteousness, there are 195 other nations to pray for. Pray for them as well, for the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We have 330 million people in this country. That's a lot of people. It is a drop in the bucket compared to 7 billion people. Two nations in this world have over 1 billion people in them. A lot of people out there. We need to get a worldwide outlook, a worldwide ministry of prayer for the nations. And finally, the king's favor is toward a wise servant, but his wrath is against him who causes shame. So whether it's your employer, somebody in authority over you, when you're wise, you'll be promoted. And when you are foolish, then you're going to suffer the consequences. Proper living, very practical things. And we talked about right living, wise living, and godly living. And I want to just address those who are watching by television and by YouTube at this time, and anybody here that it might apply to. Proper living and wise living really is based on a right relationship with God. And that right relationship with God that we already talked about is based on a personal faith relationship with Jesus Christ. He wants to be your God. He wants to be your Lord. He wants to be your Savior. He tells us in Revelation 3 that he stands at the door of your heart, and he knocks. He wants to come in. And if you'll Google pictures of Jesus knocking on the door, you'll see hundreds of different renditions by hundreds of artists of Jesus standing before a door with his hand raised to knock. And all those paintings will paint him differently and the door differently, but the one thing that is going to be always the same in those paintings is that door has no handle on the outside. Jesus cannot grab any handle to force his way into that door and through that door into the heart of that person. The handle is on the inside. The handle is on the inside of your heart. Open your heart to him. Invite him in and say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I've been a sinner. I'm blame shifting. I'm blaming you for my problems. I'm blaming family. I'm blaming friends. I'm blaming my country, my ethnic background, my education. I am the one who sinned. I take the blame myself. And I ask you to forgive me for my sins. I believe that you died for my sins. I believe you were raised again for my righteousness. Come into my heart. Live your heart in your life in me. I'll live for you. I will serve you all the days of my life. And Lord, give me your wisdom. Give me your proper living. That's what you need to do. And so for all of us now, let's bow our hearts before the Lord, and we'll close in prayer. I want to say one thing before we do. For those of you, especially in foreign countries, I don't know your situation as far as finding churches, but ask God to show you a church in your area that's faithfully teaching His Word. A lot of resources on the internet, including our site, reachoutfellowship.org or reachoutfellowship.com. If you live in the Colony, Albany area, come on in and visit us here at Reach Out. But wherever you are and whatever you're doing, find a church. Get involved with that church. Read God's Word every day. Serve others. You'll never be disappointed. Let's pray. Excuse me. Father, in Jesus' name, we ask that you will come into our hearts. Lord, teach us to live righteously. Teach us to live properly. Lord, save our souls. Guide us, direct us, protect us. Give us your wisdom. Glorify your wonderful life in and through us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.